What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
All of the 50 executive orders Trump put into play on 120 are egregious, but the, quote, defending women from gender ideology extremism and restoring biological truth to the federal government literally erases a whole segment of our population while also placing those already in the throes of the violence of the carceral state in even more danger. I am talking about my trans relatives, who I hope know this show stands with and for you. People are absolutely fighting back and joining us to discuss what is at stake for transgender prisoners and a lawsuit challenging the executive order is Shannon Minter, the legal director at the National Center for Lesbian Rights and part of the legal team representing the plaintiff in a case called Maria Moe versus Donald Trump, which challenges Trump's executive order that rejects transgender identity and in particular its impact on transgender prisoners. Good morning, Shannon.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. First, I mean, we've talked about it, I guess a bit on this show, but I think all of it bears repeating. Can you break down that executive order whose name I just am not going to say again because it brings bile into my mouth every time I do it, and its particular impact on trans folks and trans prisoners?
Yes, it's just an extraordinary order. I believe it is unprecedented in our nation's history. There's no other example of a president issuing an executive order that just purports in one fell swoop to exclude transgender people, any group of people, the target here is transgender people, from literally all federal anti-discrimination laws and then more. It strips away every existing federal legal protection that has been established for transgender people, everything from passports, the ability to get a new passport, to be able to change your gender on your social with the Social Security Administration. And most pertinent to our topic today is it puts transgender women who are incarcerated in just directly in harm's way. I mean, it's just really shocking. This order purports to tell the Bureau of Prisons that they have to immediately remove any transgender woman who's housed in a women's facility, which is, you know, a significant number of individuals, and put them into men's facilities, even though we know for certain, and the government itself has studied this, we know for certain that what will result because of that is increased rape and sexual and physical violence.
And that is actually where I was going to go next. Talk about which ways this sort of strips the federal act to prevent rape in prisons. I can't remember the exact title, but there's a whole law to make, you know, to reduce these types of violence, violent incidents.
There is a law. I mean, one of the things that's happened, you know, over the past few decades is that, you know, our society, our legal system has recognized, okay, we have transgender people in our society, and how are we going to figure out how to include them safely, and so that, you know, transgender people can live and work and do all the things that people need to do and just be productive, constructive members of our society. And so one of the worst problems is just the severe violence that is directed at transgender women who are incarcerated with men in men's facilities. I mean, it's not hard to understand. It's just, you know, transgender women are a kind of part of the population of women. If you put women in a men's facility, they're going to be subject to extremely high risk of sexual assault and violence. And so to address that problem, prison officials themselves said we need to do something and supported the Prison Rape Elimination Act, which protects any group of people who's at high risk for sexual victimization in prisons. And there's a regulation enacted under the Prison Rape Elimination Act more than 10 years ago that says, that identifies transgender women as one of those high-risk groups and says prison officials have to make an individualized housing determination. You know, look at the individual circumstances of a particular transgender woman and decide what is going to be the most safe and secure thing for her and for the safety and security of the overall system. So basically give them the discretion where it just makes sense to house a transgender woman in a women's facility rather than a man's facility. And boy, this order just wipes that out. It takes away all discretion from prison officials to do that. It just overrides the law that's on the books and says, nope, categorical ban, no matter what, no matter how dangerous it is, no matter what this person's individual circumstances are. I mean, you could have somebody who's lived their whole entire life for decades as a woman. This order forces prison officials to put every single transgender woman into a men's facility.
All right, let's jump from there into the lawsuit because I'm running out of time. There's so much I want to unpack with you, but let's get to the meat of this conversation. You are part of the legal team representing Maria Mo in the Maria Mo versus Donald Trump lawsuit. What is the lawsuit? Who is Maria Mo, and what does the lawsuit allege?
Yeah, now that is a pseudonym for a transgender woman. And the judge has actually sealed the entire case, so I can't provide a lot of details about it. I expect that very soon it will be unsealed and we will get a public ruling. But just the bare outlines of the facts are she is a transgender woman. She has been housed in a women's facility the entire time she has been incarcerated. And pursuant to the president's order, she was told she's been removed from the women's facility and told that she's being transferred to a men's facility, being held in isolation, and told that that's about to happen. So we jumped in to prevent that from happening because she would be at such high risk of assault. And we're really hoping to prevent that from happening to her. But she is not alone. I mean, we have now, we're in touch with a number of other transgender women who are in a similar situation. And so we are, as we speak here, in the process of putting together two other lawsuits on behalf of another individual woman and then a group of women. So this is it's happening all across the country. I mean, literally right now, as we're talking on this show, there are transgender women who are being removed from women's facilities and put into very dangerous situations in men's prisons.
I mean, and I guess part of the point of these lawsuits is that hopefully they go the way that they should. And then that then sets precedents, right, for larger legal battles that can impact, policy and practice across the country. Yeah.
Yes, I think we're going to be successful here because there's a whole body of case law that has held that prison officials cannot just categorically, without any kind of consideration of a person's safety, put a transgender woman in a men's facility. Like they have to look. There's a constitutional case that was decided back in 1997, and the case happened to be brought by a transgender woman named Dee Farmer. And the Supreme Court held that prison officials can't just knowingly put someone who's incarcerated into harm's way, into a situation where they know the chances that they're going to be raped or physically assaulted are extremely high. So the law is on our side here.
Shannon, one last question for you before I have to jump to my next guest. And something I always think about when I see, laws attacking our transgender relatives is that, the attack in policy is one thing, but it also trickles down to the levels of danger from, vigilantes, whatever you want to call folks, for trans people on the streets. Yeah, like there's a direct connection.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you for saying that and acknowledging that. Yes, it is horrifying to think that the president of the United States has issued this order and a bunch of other orders. He just issued one last night banning transgender people from the military and literally saying that they are morally unfit to serve in the military. For the president to be saying these incredibly demeaning, disparaging things about a group of people is so dangerous, and it has instilled a very high level of fear on the part of transgender people across the country and worried that this is going to encourage vigilante violence, rejection by family members, bullying at school. I mean, when I think of the impact on young people, it breaks my heart.
Yeah, me too. Shannon Minter, thank you so much for joining us. We will continue to follow this case and likely have you back.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.